Welcome to the San Antonio FC Fancast. That was just for you, Matt.
20.
Thanks for joining us. Sure. Thanks for joining us. Hope everyone's doing well. Pretty excited. This is our last show before the season starts. And I'm joined by the entire crew. Let's go ahead and get the first introduction out of the way. Matt joins us. How are you?
Yeah, allergies. Kicking my butt.
You're telling me, brother. Yeah. For those of you not in Central Texas, cedar season has officially ended. And that means oak season has begun. And I'm allergic to both. Beautiful. I don't know why I live here. I don't. It's stupid. Anyway, that was the voice of Matt from FTC the San Antonio. Also joining me is Rafa. Rafa, how are you?
Pretty good. Just back from Victoria. And then I had to wake up early at 7 a.m. to head out to Mission City Soccer Complex. I had a good time with the Mexican national team, U13 and U15's coaching staff. We looked over some great talent. As they got to showcase both the boys and the girls, and hopefully we'll see some of our local players end up playing in the Mexico national youth teams this summer at a tournament there in Mexico.
That'd be great. That's exciting. Also joining us is Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing all right today. I don't know who, but some random person just happened to hang a San Antonio Citizen scarf in the background of my shot here. I don't know why. I guess maybe City won a game today or something.
I couldn't tell you. Knowing them, they probably won the game. And if they played a red team, they normally beat all the red teams. So
Well, Newcastle won yesterday, so that's all that matters.
Nobody cares about Newcastle.
You know what? Yeah. Y'all can all buy me, okay? I'm united till I die.
That's your mistake.
Dynamo till he dies.
Yep. Dynamo,
SKC. Kansas City United. Chiefs. It all makes sense. It all makes sense, folks. It all makes sense. There's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift. She's fine. She doesn't need to be catching strays here. Also joining us is Harry. Harry, how are you?
Tired. Did manual labor. Redid the patio.
Sure.
So if I'm a little bit more off than normal, I'm going to blame that. And if I drop a little bit of F-bombs, that is why.
Well, my dog decided to join me right now, and if you hear her tail in my microphone, I wouldn't be surprised. Go, Penny. All right. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Pent up anger ready to be released, according to Jonathan.
Who's got pent up anger? What's going on?
I do. I haven't vented in a long time, according to Jonathan.
Oh, sure.
Friday afternoon off from social media and really kind of refrained.
We'll get to that subject later.
For Harry, taking even just half the day off of social media, that's a lot of pent up frustration and anger. So be careful, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Watch yourselves on the streets on the west side of San Antonio.
Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
All right. So, let's get on with it. Our first subject today is going to be transactions. We don't really have any to report, but we do have confirmation that Trova Boney and Richard Wimbischler are in town. And we've been waiting on them to come into town. Don't know if there's visa issues. Don't know if there's an agreement on what happened, but we do know and can confirm they are in town. So the squad, as announced, is in town. Apologies. The whole squad is in town. They are together. They are training together. So that's great. That is a good sign. We've also heard rumors that we may be getting another signing or two this week. So I will be sure to wear my socks. If anybody else lights candles,
actually, whatever you do, it'll be more than that, though. It'll be more than that because they have not announced the academy signings, and they always announce the academy signings the first week. And that is an important part of San Antonio development is the academy contracts for four or five lucky academy kids.
Very much so. We do know at least one is probably going to get signed, and that is Dalziel Ozuna, who's been in multiple U.S. youth national team camps. He will most likely get the call. He's also featured in a couple of the preseason matches. We expect him to get signed, plus another player or two that we've recognized on the field, Eduardo Fernandez, and possibly a couple others from the academy. But also there may be, like I said, there may be a signing or two beyond that for the SAFC roster. So kind of moving on, kind of sticking with the subject, we'll go over real quick a little San Antonio FC alumni report. Jump the gun there, Harry. I'm going to hit up the alumni report. So as many of you have seen on social media, Tanny Oluwaseyi from last season scored. He had an assist last week against in the game-winning goal against Austin FC. And then this week he had the last-minute in stoppage time game-tying goal against Columbus. Really nice finish. Pretty typical stuff that we're used to seeing at Toyota Field. And he also did the crazy limb celebration, so love to see that. And he celebrated with teammate, also former SAFC player, Dane St. Clair. So that was a fun scene. Additionally, Sam Adeniran got his second goal of the season. Well, I guess it's the first MLS goal, right? Because the first goal was in the whatever cup they're playing. But he has a second goal this year for St. Louis, which is great. They're both off the hot starts. They look great. They look like exactly what we expect out of those two. So that's great. Additionally, earlier today, Jose Gallegos' team in the Dutch second division opened up the second half of their season, unfortunately, to a 3-0 loss. Pretty tough result for them. They've been really, really good this entire season, and that's a pretty bad setback, but hopefully they find their form again. Did I say Dutch? I meant Danish. Apologies. Danish. Thank you. Thank you for that. Once again, I'm 50-50. All right. My bad. Hand up accountability. Second division, Danish league. But they're fighting for promotion, and they're fighting for an automatic promotion spot to go back to the Superliga in Denmark. So apologies for that.
Where we could actually watch them.
Correct. Is it still 11 Sports to watch the Danish league, the Superliga?
I don't know.
I know. Because we haven't watched it. Haven't tried to watch it. Exactly. I've seen Copenhagen in the Champions League. They were in the Champions League, right? But they got knocked out to...
not yet. They still have a chance.
They're still in the Champions League?
Yeah.
Good for them, man. Oh, that's right.
I mean, City will be that later this week, but...
Yeah, I know exactly the team they beat to advance. That's a tough look on you there, Matt, because they beat Manchester United, once or twice? Tough.
Hey, maybe you shouldn't support red teams or orange teams. I'm just saying.
One red team. Yeah, one red team.
SAFC is silver and black, right, man.
Okay. We're gonna ignore the red.
They got red. Cardinals are red. Red's okay.
Supports the Cardinals.
I don't even support the Cardinals.
Everybody with a brain supports the St. Louis Cardinals. Anyway, so let's continue on. Let's not get bogged down. Our next subject is going to be the promotional schedule that was released. So let's go over the promotional schedule. Harry, you want to go list them off, and then we'll talk about it from there.
Sure. March 9th, the home opener sponsored by Bet365, the drone show. And I did speak with Jose, and he mentioned stay in your seats. So I'll also try to remind at the end, do not get up and leave from the seats. Unlike fireworks, where I'll typically watch from the parking lot, the drone show is going to be right over the field. So make sure you stay in your seats for that. March 23rd, Women Empowerment Night, Meet the Princesses. Oh, that'll be interesting to see what princesses that they will bring out. March 30th, 3-2-1 night. And for, I forget which one in our group, that wasn't me that couldn't read it. $3 hot dogs, $2 beer, or
$2 sodas, $1
beer. April 13th, Adopt a Pup, a nonprofit night. So that'll be interesting to see if there's going to be pups on the pitch. May 4th, they went with the cheesy May the 4th be with you against the Oakland Roots. May 11th, Military Appreciation Night, sponsored by Toyota versus Las Vegas Lights. Fabian Garcia returns. June 1st, Pride Night. June 5th, another 3-2-1 night. June 29th, Lone Star State Night. So that's be kind of interesting against New Mexico United. July 6th, Independence Day celebration, and there'll be fireworks sponsored by HEB, also AJ's birthday on the 7th. So maybe I'll see if we can get his name on the board. August 3rd against Tulsa, another 3-2-1 night. North Carolina FC on August 17th, Youth Night, sponsored by Community First Health Plans. August 31st, Marvel Night, sponsored by Texas A&M University San Antonio.
Congrats to Ticket 760's own Aaron Marvel on getting his own night. That's fun. Nice work.
September 28th, Health and Wellness Night, sponsored by Community First Health Plans, obviously.
Just skip right over that one.
Wait, what?
I just skipped right over my joke. That's fine. Jonathan, to add there? Nothing to add there, Jonathan? That's fine. Okay.
Hey, I mean, we already made the jokes on Twitter the other day, so.
And now we're doing it on the show, so people will listen. Come on now. Help me out. Man, tough scene in this little podcast. Wow.
Well, let me get through the last three, and then you can go back to your Marvel Knights and your Avengers and all that fun stuff. Hispanic Heritage Night on October 5th, sponsored by Toyota. October 19th, Breast Cancer Wellness, sponsored by Methodist Healthcare. And probably my favorite and everybody's favorite, Fan Appreciation Night, October 26th against Detroit City, sponsored by Rico's. And also fireworks on that night as well. So two firework nights, 3-3-2-1 nights, one drone show, couple of silly ones with May the 4th be with you and Marvel Night. Matt, your thoughts? I know there was a couple of pinata theories that will be out there on certain theme nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I got 9 out of all of them that we'll do pinatas for. But definitely wearing Star Trek for Marvel Night. Or what is it? May the 4th night.
That's the correct take. That's what I said in our little text group is all of us need to wear, you know, live long and prosper shirts to May the 4th, because there's nothing that makes a nerd more upset and mad than getting the thing that they're obsessed with wrong. So absolutely, I'm for it.
I wear Battlestar Galacticas tonight. No tricky here.
All right, then I'll wear Stargate. Jeez, what are we doing?
I won't wear anything because I'm not a May the 4th guy with you or a Marvel Knight fan. So
whoa, Harry, I think they're going to require you to wear something.
Yeah, you need to wear clothes, dude. That's not going to fly. Jose's going to come at you, and that's not going to end up pretty.
Brother. At the same time, he might get away with it because if you're security, like, I don't know, you're going to be a little shy about tackling some dude that's just streaking.
That's crazy.
Well, obviously, because they'll allow people right up to or yellow card or red card the referees. Stay in your seats, people. I'm not encouraging.
Yeah, we're not encouraging that. Stay in your seats. That was an absolute tough look, though. Tough look in that. Ugh. Let's not talk about that. Anyway, let's continue on.
Did we want to break and then turn into San Antonio FC?
Real quick, I guess I'll say my piece on the promotions. I love the Women's Empowerment Night. That's really cool. Something that's really near and dear to my heart is a nonprofit night. My wife works for a nonprofit, and I always volunteer at it. So that's always been a real big deal for me. Obviously, like I said, Pride Night, Breast Cancer Awareness Night that's great. It'll be interesting to see the May the 4th and the Marvel Night. I think those are low-hanging fruit, but we'll see. But pretty excited about the promotions this year. And real quick, on our sound off on social media, I just asked listeners to sound off. Dennis Lamb's in here. The most, the night he's most looking forward to is military appreciation night.
Right.
Jeffrey Lopez said, Pride Night and Breast Cancer Awareness Night. And, Costless Titan at Costless Titan, shout out, who also runs now an SAFC podcast. So go subscribe to Costless Titan on,
YouTube,
to listen to his stuff. His favorite nights are Adopt a Pup, which is a nonprofit night, and 3-2-1 night. And he said, I like dogs and I like beer. Who can argue? All right. So moving on, take it away, Harry.
You can have dogs on each night.
Hot dogs.
All righty, and we're back. And up next was the preseason match against the team up I-35. I guess we should start with the lineup here first before the goal. So how they lined it up here: Hernandez, Aguidello, Hankinson, Silva, Omar, Lambert, Gomez, Tainter, Burks, Manley, and Pablo Cisniega. Thoughts?
Well, there's been a lot of
my thoughts are can we mute if we're not talking? I don't know what is happening over there. There's like some rocks getting thrown in a washer or something. What are we doing? Come on now. Cough button. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just gonna say we have 8 players that have played all 3 of these preseason matches now. So you've got some good consistency. I think that's, you know, until you start getting players suspended and, you know, injured and whatnot, that consistency is good. I would maybe be a little concerned about chemistry when you're having to start swapping guys in and out. But for the most part, you know, that's what we would consider to be just about the first team, or, you know, the preferred starting 11. So just good to see them getting reps, I suppose. And I think that's pretty much all I can say about the lineup. There's not much else beyond that I can think of.
With the exception of Matt, I think we all agree with that. I hate Austin at, you know, being MLS. Matt probably has a soft spot for
Austin. Let's get that fixed right there. I do not like Austin either.
That's like saying a Houston fan is like, oh, you know, FC Dallas, they're great. No, they're in-state rivals. Like,
but it's single entity. They all have the same owner.
Oh, one of the same.
Tell that to the fans, though. The owners, sure, they're all under the same umbrella, but the fans, not so much.
So this is the only highlight that we've got. It's the first goal. There's no sound to it. It is the corner kick, I would assume, based on this. Maybe a free kick.
They said it was a corner.
Yeah, corner.
So.
Agudelo gets high, and he just, that's a professional header right there. That's what that is. That's all that is a professional header.
Kind of surprised Tainter didn't get it. I don't even see Tainter.
He's in the back. He's in the back on the goal scoring play. Yeah. He's where he needs to be. But that went to the center. So that's going to be interesting. A phrase that our friends at the Puro SAFC podcast coined is the scoring play, where the ball goes deep to the far post, Tainter heads it back over, and then it's just in that wheel of uncertainty, that little area of uncertainty. So now it looks like we have a little addition to that, a little twist where we can change it up a little bit and just have Agudelo just sit there right in the middle. So anytime you can get a little change and a little variety, it's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So you wanted to bring up the lineups, which we did. Silva scored a goal. Lucas Silva scored a goal. What, first couple of minutes?
Yeah, first couple of minutes.
Goal was.
Yeah, super early. Yeah.
Or who assisted. Austin FC 2 got a penalty. We don't know what the foul was. It was right after the break. And then late second half, Academy Kids came on, as well as Richard Winbelcher, Bonnie Burra.
Abu.
And Abu. No Lacey. Well, was Lacey part of that?
No.
So Lacey hasn't been seen in a couple weeks, and has anybody seen Solanag yet?
He's there. We saw him Friday.
I mean, they're there. They didn't play, though.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. They didn't come in. So in this match, all the forwards kind of sat down for the late subs, and they just kind of put in the defensive core just to get some defensive some action and some reps for, like you said, Wynn Bischler, Burra, Abu,
Bonnie.
And Bonnie. So I assume that was a back line with Abu in front of them, and then the rest Academy kids.
So moving to injuries already. You had a question mark on there. We don't know the extent of Lacey or Solanag.
Or Patino. Or
Patino being out.
It's SAFC. Come on.
Yes.
We know the answer to that.
Unfortunately. Hey,
that was on the list. I'm like, okay. So SAFC preview here. We're up to that section here. Line up here. So this is Royce's version of what he foresees. He's got Pablo, Tanner, Burks, Manley, Silva. You have Burra or Omar in this spot. Lambert. You have Gomez. You have Jorge.
As a 10.
And then you have Aguidello and Luke Hankinson.
I think Hankinson in this in this preseason has really nailed a spot there. He can also switch off as the right wing back if necessary, but I think he's really nailed down that spot as that second forward. And next to him is either going to be Aguidello or it's going to be Patino. Well, or possibly Lucho. That's just kind of to be seen, and we'll see how things work out. But as of right now, I think Hankinson is going to be that second forward with either Aguidello or Patino.
This is how I think it'll be, where it's more of a, because this is what the original lineup was supposed to be against Antigua GFC. I still think Burra or Omar. I had Omar getting in, but I can see Burra getting the spot because of his experience with him and Lambert. But I think it's going to be Hernandez, Patino, and Aguidello with Luke sliding back. And taking the spot of Shannon, because that way you can still get him moving forward, Silva getting forward along those lines. And you got the poacher, Patino, who does a lot of dirty work now for that here. That's how I see it. Rafa, what do you see? I know yours is maybe a little bit different, more similar to mine than with Royce's, but your thoughts on, I think you had a boo in, right?
Yeah, but I think you might be right. I think they may go with Burra,
or Omar.
Yeah, and I think they'll save Abu for maybe like a little crunch time to settle if we have a lead to kind of settle things. You can't replace Patino. He's your nine. He's your killer. I mean, you wouldn't sign him for a multi-year deal to have him sit on the bench. So he's going to be up there. He's crucial up there. The thing is with him, he garners a lot of attention that's going to free up either Aguidello or Hernandez. And I think I like Hernandez there on the outside, because if you saw from the preseason game against Antigua, he had a lot of room and he looked very comfortable there on the wing, playing the balls, you know, up front and then also switching around. So I think the ball, I guess, as far as the play flows better, I think with this lineup, I think they're going to be more of an attacking style than just having just two up front. I think they understand that they have to pressure the backboard in order to be successful and also to create chances. Back three, I think Brooks has earned, I think he's earned the starting spot. He really has been playing well, and to have Tanner and Manley on each side is going to really kind of help him out there too. Like I said, Pablo's kind of more likely going to be your starting keeper for, you know, on Saturday.
Jonathan or Matt, any feedback that you got on what you foresee as the lineup?
Goalkeeper in back three, I don't think there's any question there. I think all five of us, pretty much the entire SAFC community, would say, yeah, they've started these three preseason matches together. That's going to be what happens, unless, you know, crush fingers, SAFC, we know how they like to have injuries at sudden moments.
Always a surprise one.
Yeah. In terms of the midfield, I think I'm kind of with you guys, you know, really Lambert, no questions about Silva and Hockenson. I mean, he'll be somewhere on the field. Depends how you want to have that front line stacking up. And so it's really just that center midfield spot where it, over the last couple of years, has been Abu when he's fit. Could be Omar, could be Noguera. We just don't know. And I mean, some of these guys were coming in during preseason, so maybe that's why we didn't see them as much. Maybe they were just integrating, but they're going to have a bigger role to play going forward. And then you've really got, you know, obviously Hernandez linking the midfield and the forward line. No questions there. And with the likes of Patino, potentially Hockenson, Solignac and Agudelo, you've really got some good options up top to finish off those chances, to, you know, something that Marcina has been talking about a lot in preseason is provoking pressure to penetrate. And the whole idea, it's almost, if you can envision kind of a horseshoe where they're trying to, with some of these passes, pull opponents out of position and find space on the wings or in behind the defense. And with some of those forwards on your roster, you play the ball to them. You know, Agudelo has already shown he's capable of scoring a couple goals. We know Solignac is capable of scoring goals and doing it rather quickly. And, you know, Santi, as Tim Hankinson always liked to say, El Raton, sniffing out the cheese in the box. So, and Hockenson even has proved he's capable of finishing too. We saw it against Antigua. So there are some great options up there. And I think that competition hopefully will try and keep all of them sharp. And the fact that there is a bit of a debate is probably a good thing, because it means it's not settled. It means at least for the first few weeks, the first month, it could be a bit of a revolving door where, you know, okay, this guy hasn't quite worked out in the first few matches of the regular season. Let's swap this guy in. Let's try this different tactic. They should be able to push each other really well this season, I would think.
Royce, do you see really, and I guess here's the, kind of the question, do you see a big difference with Agudelo here and Luke here, or if you have Patino off and you have you know, Luke here and then Shannon here, do you see any big difference as far as how they play, or is it just kind of, you know, pick your poison type of a lineup?
Defensively, 100%, but also that's kind of why you have Carter Manley over there, is Carter can kind of help with that wide defending. But defensively, Shannon Gomez is a superior player. Hockenson is a more superior player going forward. But Gomez has the pace that Hockenson just doesn't have. And Gomez has the defensive tools and kind of nous and the experience that Hockenson doesn't quite have. So there's definitely a risk there, but at the same rate, that's why you have, you know, Lambert on that side. That's why I have Manley on that side to kind of cover for Hockenson if he, you know, goes forward and kind of abandons his defensive responsibilities. At the same rate, Hockenson going forward, as we saw, combining with Hernandez in the Antigua game, that's something I don't want to, you know, I don't want to risk not having that by having Hackenson starting back. So, and with Patino and Agudelo, they're kind of one in the same in the same position. So you definitely just want one of those nines being a pest, Patino more pest than anybody up so there. So
here's my question, and obviously you and Rafa are more technical, and I'll even throw Jonathan in. If you've got kind of this core defensively with Tanner, Burks, Manley, Lambert, and Burra, that means Lucas can go up and Luke can go up here to where maybe they have a little bit more freedom where you don't necessarily need Shannon back there. You know, does that make sense? And I don't know if maybe that's what Rafa was kind of.
So here's my example.
Going more offensive on that.
Here's my example of why I don't think that would work. The last time we had kind of more of a forward or a midfielder play as a wing back or a left back that wanted to get forward a lot and kind of abandon his post was Jack Barmby in Coach Powell's last season, where he would just go forward. He was a left back on paper. He was a left back. He just wouldn't go back. And that space was filled time and time and time again for crosses. I don't like that move just because it leaves your width. It leaves you susceptible to getting flanked and to have crosses come across. And if we're going to lose to a team like Loudoun, it's going to be because of a cross like that and kind of a, I don't want to say a lucky play, but just kind of one of those things. We have no business giving up a cross, especially if we have the defensive players we should have. And that's kind of how you get beat against those kind of teams.
And Loudoun does have good speed on the wings with Francois and Cahill El Makadar, who has scored some great goals last year, you know, along those lines. And we know Cristiano Francois from El Paso and RGV the last couple of years here. So they will have speed to go down the lines there, and Skundrich and McCabe are solid midfielders as well. Zach Ryan, I think, is pretty solid up top, but I'm not, I don't know about Florian Bala and how creative he is, but we do know Loudoun will have wing play. Isaac Espinal off the bench is also one that to watch out for on the wings when it comes to that. So that does make sense. Rafa, your thoughts on kind of Royce's, leaving Shannon in there and not putting Luke in there, and how that can affect the formation.
Especially if they, like I said, they have speed. You want to kind of fight fire with fire. That's what you want. Like I said, Luke does have some good speed on there. I still don't think Juan Agudelo is going to start. I think it's going to be Patino. I mean, for me, Patino, especially when he goes attacks that back four against Loudoun, he's going to give them problems. He, like I said, he's one that's going to get under their skin, and that's what you want. You want him to get under their skin, and that way that kind of pulls that defense to kind of attract to him, which is going to allow like Shannon and Luke on the outside to get the ball, play the outside, to play back in. Because one of the things also we're going to be dangerous is sending crosses in with Lambert, especially with Lambert. If you saw that one opportunity Lambert had on that header for the preseason game, it almost went in, just missed that one. So, and the same thing with Lucas Silva, very strong, fast. So I think we match up well with them. I think the only tweak, as I said, is having Patino up front, because like I said, I do want to get under their skin. And then we can later on, if we do get a lead, then we can kind of switch it up, kind of have some, more possession. Like that's when you can come in with Muhammad Omar or Abu, really kind of slow things a bit. And that's all, like what Jonathan mentioned about the whole thing about the possession. I think that's the key here, is like once we get a lead, or comfortable lead, we're going to start possessing the ball, kind of kill the clock a little bit, but still be able to strike on them and on the spaces and so forth. We're kind of sucker them in, and then boom, hit them up top. So, but I think we should do well this Saturday against Loudoun.
Matt, your thoughts on the lineup and you know, before we go into Royce's SAFC guess the stats.
I think this is a good lineup. I agree with everyone saying. The only thing is, I just hope, pray that from what we've seen Hernandez doing with the forwards, we keep that shit. We keep it. Because these assists by him are sounding pretty amazing. So that's the only thing I'm really focused on is him just feeding the forwards.
And Kosla says, I'll put money on Francois getting an assist, sadly. I disagree with you, Kosla. This isn't the RGV show for that here. And Mitch shuts down Francois historically. So we'll see here. SAFC defense throughout the preseason only allowed – the starters only allowed one PK goal, if memory serves me correct, because the three – against the Dynamo Dose, Matt Gomez's favorite team was against the Academy and Trialists.
Hey, I'm not gonna hate. From what I talked to with the Surge, the second team's pretty freaking good. Like, yeah. This thing.
So, Royce, you've got some guess the stats here for us here. Do you got your sheet and? Is everybody ready to make a fool of themselves on Royce's little game here?
Yeah, we don't have too many to go through, but just kind of the basics, kind of the silly ones. Man, I'm thinking about like on the fly adding some more. So if you have any suggestions, let me know. But we'll do these real quick. So the first one is going to be. Yellow card. Who do we think is going to be the first San Antonio FC player that earns a yellow card? Harry, you're up first.
Well, if he starts, Patino.
You think it's Patino? Okay, interesting choice.
The obvious one.
Jonathan?
I'm going to go with Lambert.
Lambert, all right. That's interesting choice. Rafa?
I think Tainer.
Yeah. A man after my own heart. I believe Mitch. You were correct on that
Charlie
one.
Charlie Gomez also went with Mitch as well.
Mitch.
And Matthew.
I want to say Mitch, but my mind's telling me Lucho.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
Go with Mitch.
Fine.
Off the bench. And,
A yellow on the bench for complaining, you know?
I've seen it before. Like,
you know what?
Maybe Lucho's going to get it. I don't know why.
Maybe.
He may be in box one and he'll get it from up there.
That would be an unbelievable call by Matt. And I'm also gonna call shenanigans like he knew was going to happen. Anyway.
That is a good point. For what it's worth, especially over last year and kind of the year before too, we know that SAFC bench likes to the coaching staff likes to give the fourth official an earful. So
that's a good call with Marcina.
Maybe
that would be a good
the
call.
Assistant coaches.
Oh, Marcina.
No, the assistant coach gets a yellow card.
Well, I think Marcina got the first few, and then he was like, "All right, I'm on four. I'm on suspension watch."
Send somebody else to go get it. Yeah.
Yeah, send somebody else.
So, do we have those locked in, or does somebody want to change one to assistant?
I don't know, man, because I want to say Tainer so bad, but I just feel like it's gonna be Lucho. I don't know why.
Okay,
well, roll with it, buddy.
It's fair enough. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's your intuition. Always
maybe SAFC doesn't get a yellow until like game two or game three.
Always follow your intuition, or like I said, or Lucho gets one for maybe coming on the field to celebrate the first goal when he's not supposed to be on the field. Who knows? We'll see. All right. So who gets the first red card? Who's the first San Antonio FC player with a red card in the 2024 season? Let's go with Rafa. Rafa, who do you think is going to be?
I'll go with Patino.
Okay. Okay. Historically a good call on that one. Harry.
I'm gonna go with Pablo Sisniega.
Sisniega, okay.
The goalie.
You think he's gonna pull a Favre? Red cards.
What happened?
Think he's gonna pull a Favre or something? Jonathan.
I will go with Tainter for this one.
Sure.
Sorry, Mitch. Sure.
Matthew?
I'm with Rafa. I'll take Patino.
Okay, Patino. I'm going to go with Silva with a nasty little slide tackle in the corner on the sideline. I think Silva's going to get a high boot, and I think he's going to get a red card pretty quickly in the season. Well, not quickly in the season, but at some point, I think he's going to make a rash tackle.
No Marcina.
This is a good shout.
No Marcina.
I mean, that's a good shout for Marcina for sure. I think it's going to be Silva, though. I think Marcina gets the red card after a San Antonio FC player gets a red card. I think that's how that's going to go down.
I don't know if Allen has ever even been sent off. It's one of those where I guess he kind of says, you know, hey, I've got this yellow that I can work with, that I can mess with the officials and stuff. But he knows where the line is, and he doesn't step over it.
The man knows what he's doing. I mean, we've known that for years or decades now in San Antonio. All right, here's a fun one. Who do we think scores the first goal for San Antonio FC in the regular season in 2024? Matt.
Patino. Mess it up, Matt.
Patino? Okay. Sure. I thought you were going to say Lucho. Rafa?
I think Luke does. I think Luke gets a goal.
Hackinson, love that call. Jonathan.
Kind of an easy or obvious pick because he got the two goals in preseason, but Agudelo,
sure. Swagadelo. Love to see it. Harry.
Well, USPX says, EH says, easy Patino. Charlie says, Luke. I'm going to go with Jorge Hernandez. How has nobody picked Jorge?
Damn, Doc. That's my pick.
He occasionally gets a goal, but it's not his main.
Robert. Robert.
Now on a
play first goal.
Now on a corner kick, I think maybe Lambert.
You know what?
Lambert's a good shot.
Yeah, for a corner kick, I would probably be Lambert.
Lucas had one early, too.
So do you want to stick with Hackinson or do you want to go with Lambert?
No, I'll stick with Luke, but if it's a corner kick, it's probably going to be Lambert.
Okay. All right. I'm going to write down Mitch as well for Robert there. I like Hernandez as the call. I guess I got to switch it up, huh? I can't just.
Well, you can have Hernandez. I'll take Silva because I was 50-50.
You're going to take Silva? Okay.
Hey, All right. Morris, let me ask you a question here. Who takes the PK?
Oh.
For SAFCs this year.
So if Patino's on the field, Patino takes it. Hernandez is not taking PKs. I think it was a pretty obvious call there.
Last year, right?
That's correct. In a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough scene. So,
Mitch just took PKs too.
He has, but that championship one is always gonna be there. I haven't seen Hackinson take one. I haven't seen Agudelo take a penalty. I'm sure he's a professional at penalties. But I think whoever the striker is takes it. Lucho.
Did Lambert take one in the final against Charleston?
I wouldn't doubt it.
He was in Salt Lake.
No, the final last season. He
was in Salt Lake.
He was already in Salt Lake?
Oh. Yes, he got loaned last year.
Yeah. Okay, shit. Okay, fair enough. Okay, we got four more to go. Who gets the first assist? Who gets the first assist for San Antonio FC
I think
in the 2024 campaign? Rafa.
Hernandez.
Sure. Jonathan.
I'll go with Hernandez. If everyone else picks Hernandez, I might change just to be different.
Mine's not going to be Hernandez because I want to be a little different on this one. Matt.
Hernandez.
Sure. Harry.
Give me Lambert.
Okay. Okay. I like that shout.
Because the obvious is Jorge. You know,
right. I mean, yeah. That's most likely going to be it. What I think it's going to be, and my call is Hernandez for the first goal. I think it's going to go kind of opposite. I think it's going to be a run by Luke up to the goal. He gets in a cul-de-sac, pulls it back. Hernandez is right there on the spot in the goal. 1-0 SAFC. So I'm going to go Luke Heckinson for the first assist of the season. All right. Now we got three more, and these are kind of the season-long ones. These will be really fun to reflect upon. We'll go with Jonathan first. Who's your golden boot winner for 2024 for San Antonio FC?
Agudelo.
Agudelo. Okay. Sure. Rafa.
Patino.
Patino. I like it. Okay. Matthew.
Hernandez.
Okay. Not a bad call. Harry?
I'm going to go Luke.
Luke. I need to actually write Hackinson down, but fair enough. And my call is Swagadillo. I like that call.
Is that going to be the name?
I like that call a lot. That's been his nickname forever, dude. That's been his nickname forever.
Swagadillo. I saw it either. It was either in this chat or I saw it. On X, and I was like, is that the nickname?
It's been his nickname. Like when he was in the U.S. men's national team, when he was on all those New York Reds teams, it was always Swagadillo. Yeah. Agree, Costas. Swagadillo's winning the golden boot. Me and Jonathan and I agree with you on that one. All right. So second to last is going to be, and this one's going to be fun because there's only three options. Who's the golden gloves winner? Of the season for San Antonio FC. Three options. You got Cisniega, you got McIntosh, and you got not on the roster yet.
I'm Pablo. I'm Team Pablo.
Okay. We'll go Harry first. That's fine.
Cisniega. Marsman isn't coming in. Who, by the way, got a win.
He looked good. 7.6 on Flop Mop. Looked very good. Jonathan.
Cisniega.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put this out there. He wins it for the league as well.
Okay. I love that call. Matthew.
I don't know if I want to say it for the content.
Do it.
All right.
Shit. Mark. You went Lucho for first red card. So, or yellow,
yellow card.
So go ahead.
Far.
Far, Jordan. Wow,
this is the golden glove for SAFC.
It's for SAFC.
Man, that would be a massive plot twist,
bro. Hey, that's what I'm saying. Like, hey, for the content, far. No, Cisniega.
Yeah, Rafa. Okay, now the most important golden glove prediction because. You actually have some credit as being an actual goalkeeping coach and somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Rafa, who's your pick?
Restrepo. I'm sorry. I mean,
Sure.
Dude, where's Matt Cardone in this discussion?
Yeah, I was gonna say Stone Cold Steve Austin music is going to come on, and you're going to get the announcer on the microphone. Oh, is that Matt Cardone's music? And he just comes in and just going to save everything. Correct.
Maybe Dane St. Clair is coming back for.
Sure he is, because he's got nothing better to do right now.
What was that?
Yeah, he's probably out of real estate, so he's coming back because he's not making money in Miami.
Who's the former New York City FC goalkeeper that just moved teams? I think he's with Portland now. Who was with the San Antonio Scorpions? For the championship run, is it Saunders?
Josh Saunders was that goalkeeper. Is he even still playing?
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, I think he got.
I am thinking of no.
Anyway, it's Pablo.
Yeah. The only answer is Pablo. Oh, man.
Or SAFC.
I'm going to have to do some research after this.
Try list number 5.
Yeah, out of nowhere, right? Okay, and the last one is going to be most assists. Most assists, I don't know what the maybe – or you know what? We'll do 2 more. I just got one on the fly right now. So most assists for San Antonio FC in the 2024 regular season USL Championship campaign is – Matthew, who do you think it is?
Hernandez.
Okay. I think that's going to be a pretty unanimous one. Rafa, who do you think it is?
I think it might be Lambert.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it's Lambert.
Interesting. Jonathan, who do you think is going to have the most assists this season for San Antonio FC?
I'm going with the safe choice. Hernandez. Blank on his name for a second.
It has to be Hernandez, because if it's not Hernandez, that means he either got hurt or SAF's offense is not going the way Marcelo.
I'm not putting that out there.
Or the guy we signed on loan.
I mean, listen, Hernandez got an assist, I think, in every single preseason match. That bodes well.
Abu's a good one.
Abu could sneak
I don't think Abu's playing a lot this year, though. Or I hope that he's not playing a lot this year. I hope he's more that veteran coming off the bench late, or you know, along those lines. Because I think with Burra and Omar, we have quality there, and then of course with Lambert, but we will see.
All right, fair enough. Did I get everybody? Mine's going to be Hernandez, so I think it's pretty obvious there. I think the only person that was different was Rafa with Lambert. And the final question, or the final little poll here, is who is going to be the MVP for San Antonio FC in the 2024 season? Obviously, this is going to be kind of a subjective question, but who do we think it's going to be? Let's go Jonathan first.
It's a tough one. I'm going to say understated MVP or kind of underappreciated will be Lambert.
Okay. I like that, and I can definitely see that happening. Harry, who's your MVP?
There's only one. The captain. Mitch Tainer. There's only one.
That's mine. That's mine as well. Big salute to my beautiful friend Mitchell Tainer for being the MVP once again for San Antonio FC in a season. My call as well. And also my call, he's the MVP of the entire league this season. So can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see Mitchell leaving no doubt out there and dominating. Absolutely dominating like we love to see him. Matthew, who's your MVP for San Antonio FC in the 2024 season?
Coutinho.
Okay. I like it. I like that call a lot. That means he scores a crap ton of goals. And that's exactly what we need out of Patino. Rafa, who's your MVP?
Defense wins championships. I want to go with Mitch.
It's a good call. That's a good call. All right. We will revisit those in about 6 to 7 months and see how much we embarrass ourselves. So,
hey, I got a good one. I got one for y'all.
Sure. Uh-oh.
Hey. Who's going to be the most trashed after the first game?
That's going to be Matthew. Write it down.
I got to be good on that one.
Lock it in.
Sure.
Matthew.
Not me.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be me. Mm-hmm. My money's on
I'm going to go Mijo.
Oh, dog. Is Stendhal going to get off on the wrong bus stop again and get completely lost in downtown Houston again? Oh, man.
There's only one.
Talk about our war stories.
I say it's going to be Robert.
Yeah, that could be.
That's a good choice.
Could be.
Good show.
Could be.
This one I can't. There's a lot of stuff I got to do.
Sure. All right. And Robert's bringing the Jaeger.
Speaking of Robert.
Uh-oh.
Early cannon. Oh,
no. Why you gotta put it out there, bro? Why you gotta let him know about this stuff?
And the bourbon beer.
Yikes.
No.
Hey, when Louisville comes to town, are we getting we ought to have bourbon that time here. I need a Mentality Monster of the Year award.
Yeah, Hector, just that is our MVP. Our MVP is our Mentality Monster of the Year. Once again, it's going to be Mitchell Tanner. Big salute to my beautiful friend Mitchell Tanner. So when we come back, we're going to discuss another little competition that's going on amongst the podcasts, and we'll get on it too as a fan.
USL season predictions, and then we'll do the pick four, Mike Taylor's barbecue, and the which is the group that's giving it away, the San Antonio FC Premier Fan Club giveaway here.
Okay. Sounds good. When we come back.
All right. So Royce got to do his fun and games. This is going to be my fun and games. We're going to go through and pick how we see the season going. This is kind of a spinoff of the Pearl Pick Four, through here. So we're going to start out in the East. Who do you guys think's finish 12th? Who wants to? I'll go first because I already know my list here. I've got Miami FC, the Miami FC, pardon me, finishing last in Eastern 12th.
Yeah, that's hard to argue. I think it's going to be Miami as well. Lock me in for Miami. For sure. I completely agree.
Matt?
For the East?
Yes, the East.
Hartford.
Very interesting. Very interesting call.
Oh shoot, I don't have Jonathan on here. Did you want to do this, Jonathan? I know you're part of the media.
I didn't see my name on this, so I was like, oh cool, I don't have to worry about coming up with this made up. Yes.
Not so
lucky. I'm fine.
Not so lucky. No, Hartford reloaded a lot. They're basically the Colorado switchbacks east now, for the players they brought in. So that would be something went very wrong if they end up last, but we'll see.
Her money doesn't buy championships.
Exactly.
Jonathan, who was yours?
Good players do.
I'll go ahead and go with Miami since you're going to twist my arm.
Hey, you're the one that spoke up.
You asked me.
Rafa?
It was a little toss up between Miami and Carolina. I'll go with Miami.
So, and number 11th, I have Detroit City.
I can do that.
Rafa?
I'll go North Carolina.
League One champions.
You think? I mean, they have...
Is it? They got to adjust to a different level of play.
Yeah.
Give me Loudoun United, number 11, or 11th place, I guess.
I got you.
I'm trying to see these damn teams. I will take. Indy.
Ooh, I can't switch my 12, can I?
Nope, it's locked in. Fuck. Forever.
I forgot about Indy.
Are you going Indy now?
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, and did I say Birmingham Legion? I don't know if I was muted when I did that.
Yeah, you were muted. I saw you post it. So, Kaylor Hodges, not going to like to hear, Harry has Birmingham Legion. 10th place in the 2024 season.
Oh, 100%.
My dog is physically trying to push me off of my chair right now as I'm doing this podcast. So this is great.
I'll go with Detroit.
Jonathan?
North Carolina.
And Royce.
10th, man. These four positions are really tough here. I'm getting closer to the cut line. Give me Indy. I think they just missed the playoffs again. Give me Indy there in 10th.
Robert, hop on, bro.
Memphis is going to be bad. They're not in the East, buddy.
Yeah. Memphis is in the West there, pal.
I got Loudon just missing. I think they're going to be much improved. I like the way the new ownership's directing them. And like I said, if you're a Loudon United fan, there's a lot of things looking forward to. I think you're going to just miss them. Rafa.
Yeah, I'll go with Loudon.
Matt.
Detroit.
You already went Detroit at 11.
Oh, my bad. I can't see because it's so small. Loudon. We'll go Loudon then.
Jonathan or Royce?
I will do Detroit.
Royce.
And just missing out on the playoffs. Give me, man. See, this is kind of where it's tough. I think Detroit just misses out on the playoffs this season, unfortunately. That's kind of where I'm going to have them right there. Yep.
I got Pittsburgh just making the
playoffs. Wow. Ooh. Hot take. Hot take. Is it because they got rid of all their scoring?
Well, they do that every year, but at some point,
fair.
At some point, Lily's not going to be able to find the magic dust.
We'll see. I don't know. Betting against Bob Lilly is kind of like betting against the Chiefs right now. It's kind of do at your own risk for sure.
Yeah. Wasn't everyone doubting Pittsburgh last year? How did that turn out?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
One of these years, I'll be right.
Harry, just to let you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, definition of stupidity. So good luck, brother. Mine just making the playoffs, just ahead of Detroit, Birmingham Legion.
Matt?
North Carolina.
Jonathan or Rafa?
I will do Loudon.
Find it right below Louisville. There you go.
I'll go with Indy. They squeaked by a point.
Yeah, they still have all that veteran presence. We'll see if they finally put it together. Obviously, they don't have Solomon Asante, but they still do have a lot of veteran players. So
we'll see how they do together.
Matt? So seventh place just ahead of Legion put me down for North Carolina right there.
Birmingham.
Jonathan?
Rhode Island.
Oh, I forgot about them.
probably should have done this beforehand so that we weren't picking on the fly. Honestly.
it's fun, but it's good. It's good.
This
sent out to you guys midweek.
I'll go with Rhode Island.
I went over it, and I have an idea, but it's just those four teams from 7th to 10th are so hard to pick because so much has changed in the Eastern Conference with rosters. They're just really tough to pick right now.
Sixth, I went with Hartford.
Give me Rhode Island for sixth.
Matt?
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Jonathan or Rafa?
Hartford.
I'll go with Birmingham.
And fifth, I have the newly promoted, defending USL League One champions, North Carolina FC. So North Carolina, I have them ranked the highest.
Rhode Island.
Who said Rhode Island?
Me. Matt.
Jonathan, you were saying?
Yeah, I said Birmingham. Yeah. Or Birmingham, I guess, because we're on this side of the Atlantic.
Rafa? Pittsburgh.
And then Royce.
Give me the Charleston Battery in fifth.
Fourth, I have Rhode Island.
Charleston for me.
Louisville.
Rafa and Royce.
I'll go with Charleston.
You know, I think I messed up.
No way. I don't believe you.
I put Miami way too high, bro.
And you put Hartford way too low. Speaking of Hartford, my fourth place team, Hartford. The quintessential Colorado Springs switchbacks fourth place is also going to translate to the Hartford. They're going to get fourth place this season.
You know, I'll do Miami for number three.
Pittsburgh. For
me. I was just trying to be different on the bottom, bro. I didn't want everybody to be my.
I got the Rowdies third. Who else? Matt had Miami. Who else was seen?
Pittsburgh for me.
Rafa and Royce.
I'll go with Hartford.
Third place, Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I've got Charleston at number two.
Is that who I need still? Yeah, Charleston for me.
Tampa Bay for me.
Matt is going with the Rowdies at number one. And that means that I'm going with Louisville as number one. Royce?
Give me Pittsburgh two, which means the machine keeps turning. Louisville number one in the regular season again.
Rafa or Jonathan?
Tampa two for me, which makes Louisville one.
Rafa?
Tampa 2. Louisville 1.
We're a bunch of Louisville fans over here, evidently.
If I'm not mistaken, Louisville kind of underperformed last year, so I feel like they might be back with a vengeance. And for what it's worth, Louisville was the last team from the East, at least, to win the whole thing. And that was back in 2018. So I don't know. They might be eyeing up a complete run this year.
The Fighting Sam Bleedles.
Yeah.
All right. So out west, I've got Monterey Bay as my 12th selection here.
Your basement dweller. Mm-hmm. Give me Tulsa. Tulsa, 12th place.
Poor Sam Dorr.
You hate to see it.
Matt? Matt says he's out. Jonathan?
I'll go Memphis. That's a
good show. Yeah, it's not a bad show.
That travel this year is going to be brutal.
That's going to be bad. My justification for Tulsa being last is they announced two players that signed for them, and they immediately reneged on that and signed elsewhere in the USL. So that's a tough scene.
After the coach left, by the way. Rafa?
Correct.
I'll go with RGV. Oh, excuse me. I'll go with... I'll go with Monterey Bay.
Dang.
Forever last place in our hearts.
Matt, we're going to put you in Monterey Bay just because.
I believe.
His camp makes sense. I mean, look this how I have Miami. We can just put whatever for him.
They can put Phoenix class. Yeah. You probably put Phoenix class. Yeah.
I don't hate it.
All righty. 11th, I have Oakland Roots.
Damn. Give me Memphis for 11th because I agree with Jonathan. That travel is going to be tough.
Had to think of another word, huh?
Yeah, I need a thesaurus.
Matt, are you back?
He looks back.
Rafa?
No.
I'll go with Tulsa.
Monterey Bay for me.
We'll give him El Paso.
I love it.
At number 10, I have Tulsa. I've been on their train the last couple of days or a couple of years, and well, they always let me down.
Give me Monterey Bay.
We'll give Matt Monterey Bay. Jonathan?
I will also do Tulsa.
And Rafa.
We'll do Memphis.
And in number 9, I'm just missing, I have 901.
Give me Oakland.
Ditto for me.
Rafa?
I'll do Las Vegas.
Yeah, I can see Paul Blanchett giving up the goal that eliminates Oakland Roots from playoff contention, and he just has that gobsmacked look on his face that we've seen 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 times at Toyota Field. So I can definitely see that happening.
Matt, since you're back, we went for you. Phoenix in 12th, El Paso in 11th, Monterey Bay and Oakland, just to kind of add a little bit of conformity to kind of match with what happened on the East here.
That's about right.
Fair enough. Last place, no big deal.
Not late.
Hey, we've seen first to worst before. So
we got Vegas in the playoffs in the 8th slot.
Same for me. I think they squeak by.
Same.
don't know what happened. I think my signal just went.
Who knows? Make it New Mexico for me.
Ooh. Rafa?
The Loyal. I'll go with El Paso.
Yikes.
I got Orange County 7th just because I never believe in Orange County. Matt?
RGV. Oh, okay. My bad.
Wow.
My bad. New Mexico.
Jay Chuck, Rafa, or Royce?
I'll do El Paso.
I'll do New Mexico.
Give me Orange County.
Six, I got Colorado Springs. Matt?
Sacramento.
Love that call.
I'll do Colorado Springs as well.
Royce and Rafa?
I'll do Oakland.
Give me New Mexico.
I have El Paso in 5th.
Colorado Springs in 5th for me.
Memphis. Oh, yeah, you didn't pick Memphis yet.
And I have not picked Vegas, so I'm going to throw them there.
I like it.
Possibly an oversight on my part.
That's definitely not a...
I mean, honestly,
Miami in third.
We don't even know if Vegas is going to be in the league until like 2 weeks before the season anyway. So.
Hey, but they built a team, though. They have built a team.
But when did they build it?
That's Rafa?
I'll go with Colorado.
And hosting El Paso in the first round, I have New Mexico. Just because, well, that'll be a fun match in the playoffs.
Give me Phoenix and 4th.
Tulsa.
Oh, that's right. You haven't picked Tulsa.
Whoa. That's a call.
Jonathan and Rafa.
Orange County for me.
We'll see.
I have Sacramento 3rd.
El Paso 3rd for me.
Give me Phoenix.
Matt, you've got, let's see.
I know, I'm trying to see who I have left.
So you've got Colorado Springs.
Okay, we'll do Colorado.
Well, hold on, let's give you your options here. San Antonio and Orange County.
Oh, OC.
Rafa?
Phoenix.
So I have San Antonio finishing 2nd.
Boo.
I have Rising, the defending champs, finishing 1st, just so that way they can flame out to Vegas in the playoffs.
Number two for me, Sacramento. Number one, the boys, San Antonio FC. Number one, by a mile.
I do think San Antonio wins it.
Matt?
I think you have Colorado Springs and San Antonio FC.
We're number two.
We're number two. Jonathan?
I'll do SAFC 2, which means Sacramento 1.
Boo.
Hey, not everything's going to be perfect, bro.
SAFC 2, Sacramento 1.
Boo. It'll be close. What are we doing? My goodness.
Hey, Roy, did you copy off my homework?
So we've got San Antonio 2nd. 4 out of 5. Royce has got them winning.
You're damn right.
I would like to have them winning. But in the pro SAFC pick, I went San Antonio, so that tells you where it's at. I went just with the fun little rivalry here. Royce has got basically San Antonio, Sacramento, El Paso, Phoenix. Matt's got switchbacks, SAFC, Orange County, Tulsa. Jonathan and actually Rafa have the same. They were copying homework from each other.
That's what I was saying.
Sacramento, San Antonio, Phoenix, and Orange County. So that was my fun little experiment. And then coming up next is final thoughts and, well, I guess semi-final thoughts, kind of encourage promotions for other things, I guess is the better word for it. All right, we're back. We're running a little bit long, so I had to cut it break a little bit short here. And this is in partnership with Pearl SAFC, another great SAFC podcast, Clayton and Matthew. And this is a contest that's sponsored by Beckerd Vineyards. If you go to beckerdvineyards.com, if you're a wine drinker, I'm not a wine drinker, but they do offer some, you know, where you can order. Through here, they do have tours, and then they also have a main street tasting through there, and like I said here for Becker Vineyards. But Pearl pick 4 SAFC fantasy game here. Royce, do you want to go into kind of since you and the Pearl SAFC podcast kind of put together a podcast division, and we are have a little friendly wager. Going on with, I think, Pearl SAFC and the Bunker Report, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're trying to get kind of the SAFC podcasts and groups to try to get a little friendly rivalry going on this Puddle Pick 4. We've each picked 4 teams for each podcast. A winner at the end of the year. The loser, so the last place team, will donate some monetary donation. We'll make a monetary donation to the organization of the winner's choice. So I think that'll be fun. It'll be fun to go over this. It'll be fun to follow in their podcast. We'll report where we're at. Hopefully first place the entire time. We'll see. But at the same rate, you at home can participate in this as well. Just tweet at the Puro SAFC guys. Make your pick. You pick one team from each of those groups. It's basically the playoff group and the non-playoff group for each conference, East and West. And it's pretty simple. You just go about doing that. And then however many points the team earns, that's how many points you accumulate through the season. And then you check back with it. I believe they go through the playoffs as well. So the deadline is going to be 7/29. Well, no, I guess the season starts before that, though. Whenever the season starts. So I'm assuming there's East Coast games. So let's tentatively say six. I would say by Friday. Just do it by Friday. Friday's.
Who did we select there as far as for ours? Do you remember?
If I remember correctly, we chose Louisville, we chose Hartford, we chose El Paso, and San Antonio FC. We either chose Louisville or Tampa, and I picked the other. So it's one of those. But definitely Hartford, El Paso, and San Antonio FC.
And if you want to go ahead and do this one as well, I know you volunteer for this. Is what, the third or fourth year you volunteered for?
Correct. So for the last 4 years, we've helped put together a charity barbecue. It's a barbecue cook-off where 30 teams compete in different disciplines of barbecue. So they'll be doing chicken, pork butt, brisket, and a specialty item. And they are all judged by celebrity guests. So we'll get a lot of people from the local media. Professional athletes will come out, actors, different former wrestlers and current wrestlers. So it's a good time. The event's a good time if you want to go. Tickets are $25 to go on the grounds and to get free samples of a lot of the barbecue. It's a good time. There's a DJ out there, food trucks. It's just a fun time. And it's going to be April 6th from 11 to 4. If you can't make that, but you are hungry and, you know, would like some lunch, we are also doing a plate sale. It's $10 for a plate. It comes with chicken, sausage, rice and beans, which are all restaurant quality and all really good. And it's only $10. So just, you can drive through, you can get that little QR code right there on your screen. If you're watching us from, social media or on YouTube, QR codes right there. You can find the tickets. You can pre-buy your plate sale tickets, or you can just show up day of and pick up some plates. So all proceeds go to the Salvation Army Boys and Girls Clubs there off of Peacock Avenue. And in the past, we normally, we'll see what happens this year, but we normally fundraise anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000. The first year we did it was $40,000 because it was during the pandemic and we had a lot of plate sales. But all of that goes directly to either field trips. 1 year it was to completely repaint and redo the gym floor there at the Boys and Girls Clubs. 1 year it was for all new tables and all new supplies for the kids for the summer for whenever they go there. And for the Boys and Girls Clubs, if you're not familiar, it's basically an after-school program to keep kids out of trouble. And also it's there to inspire them. There's a lot of good programs that help them look for other opportunities in life, whether it's robotics, whether it's just certain little things that they normally wouldn't get the chance to go do, they would get the chance to go do and experience. And it helps them get through school. You do your homework there. There's tutoring. It's just a great deal all around. And a lot of those kids at the Salvation Army Peacock branch there, Boys and Girls Clubs, some of them are without homes. And so they live there on site. And so some of that money goes to help offset the cost of housing kids and get them through school and to really help them kickstart their life. So really good benefit for all this. And if you can help out, if you could just go buy a plate, just go through. If you just want to show up, hang out, either way, anything helps.
And I will say also, Rudy J and Mike Taylor have started, forget the guy behind the scenes. Love You Hard TV on YouTube. It's a great show. They do talk about the Mike Taylor Barbecue as well. Great sports show here. So if you can't, if you can, you know, subscribe to them as well for that here. It's like I said, it's an entertaining show. They have an hour that's open to everybody, and then a subscribers one, which I believe is $6 if memory serves me correct for that here. But I like Rudy J when he was on the radio airwaves, and it's been a good transition, and him and Mike have worked well together. Surprisingly, I'm not a huge Mike Taylor fan personally for me, but you know, like I said, I really like Rudy. I know Royce has known Mike for what, 3-4 years now. Pretty good friends.
I've known him for quite a while. So yeah,
but he's a good guy. Matt, you're up with this one here.
good pause.
Go, Matt.
Pause.
Hold on.
So essentially, the Central AFC Premier Fan Club, we're giving away 2 tickets. Just follow everything that is said in the flyer, and we should be announcing them sometime this week.
So to enter yourself, like it, and leave a comment for what your favorite SAFC chant is. And here's a little secret. If you go to the SAFC app, it also has the chants on there. Or if you go to the FTC page, I believe the Crocketeers page and 210 page also has chants on there. To enter for a friend, you know, like and tag your friend and tell them why you love to go to SAFC games. Obviously, to see good football for that here. So it's a good thing here. Like I said, bunker seats. It's not really seats, just to give kind of a fair thing. It is a great environment. Matt, you know, and Stewart and Rafa, you know, sometimes down in there, and all the Crocketeers, FTC, and 210 Alliance do a great job of creating an environment down there for that here. So that's through there. And then the last thing here, Jonathan, Bluish Moon, you know, I know we didn't get this on the opening here, but anything going on this week with Bluish Moon? Anything that we should be on the lookout for?
So still not sure if I'm going to do the previews like I had been in the past. I just don't know if enough people care about those and, you know, get valuable information from them. But I am thinking about writing something a little early this week, kind of looking back at preseason and some reflections on that. I won't spoil too much now. So I guess that's, you know, my promotional thing. It's not a giveaway or a charity event, but there's that. And is this kind of our final thoughts? Or
yeah, you can kick off. Yes.
Okay. My final thoughts, I would just say, you know, kind of like a couple weeks ago with the preseason friendly, but, you know, crank it up to 11 now. It's going to be great to get back into the rhythm of this, to see everyone back at tailgates, at Toyota Field. And I'm also, you know, we've talked about what's the ideal SAFC lineup. I'm kind of just curious to see how the roster ends up shaking out. You know, even though the regular season's about to start, you guys alluded to it, there might be some signings this week. There might be some other signings over the course of the next few months, because that's how SAFC was last year. You know, I think within 2 or 3 months of the start of the season, quite possibly more players had been added than were added before, you know, that first game. So, we'll see how this roster shakes out. I'm curious to see how that goes and how that sets the team up for the rest of the year.
Matt, what's going on with FTC, tailgate, pinata, no pinata? I know Jaeger's coming.
Oh, definitely there's going to be a pinata. Definitely. Yeah, so Friday, me and James and Stuart talked. We're gonna have a pretty big tailgate. Crocketeers are gonna be doing something. We're gonna be doing something. Of course, there's gonna be a pinata. We gotta kick it off with a pinata, and hopefully everybody can make it out. There will be a march into the stadium.
Maybe Miho can break the pinata this year.
For real.
My final thought is the drone show. If you want to stay and watch it, make sure you stay in your seat because it's going to be right over there. Over the field is my understanding for that here, and speaking with Jose. He did mention, because I did ask him, is there any changes security-wise going into Toyota Field? He said no at this point here. So, you know, like I said here, just be smart. No umbrellas if there is rainy weather. Clear bags for that here, but they got to be size here. Do get there early. They are expecting a big crowd for that here. They haven't announced if they're going to open gates up early as of yet, but so that, you know, that way you don't miss any of the action. You know, gates typically open an hour before, so it's what, a 7:30 kick, so 6:30 is when it's going to kick off. Tailgates probably starts what, 4, usually 4 o'clock. Although if you can go out there and help set up, I know with the Crocketeers, FTC and 210 Alliance, if you can go out and help set up, that's always a huge plus for that, you know, for that as well, and for that here. So, but for me, like I said here, just a little kind of housekeeping, first game of the year. Just kind, you know, kind of be prepared. There's always fun times with security and tickets and all of that stuff. So just try to be prepared and try to get there early for that here. Rafa, your final thoughts here?
I got a few. First of all, like I said, don't forget to check us out Thursday, 7/22 roundtable. We're getting close to the playoffs. We should have some new RPIs. And also, we're also this coming Sunday, we'll have episode 5 of the 55th podcast. We're going to do a preview of Region 3 and 4 and some awards, like our team game ball, player of the week, something else as well. And then we'll have probably some guest coaches. And then also I want to bring a big thank you to Mission City Soccer Comp, Mission City FC, down at Mission City Soccer Complex, my old stomping grounds. Thank you for having me out there with the meet with Mexican National Team U13, U15 staff. Great turnout. We got to see a lot of the great talent there from the boys and the girls. I think we have way over 100 players out there. It's a long process. I did hear that they are going to be going to other cities, and then they're going to have two big camps, one in California, one in Texas. And then the ones are selected will be representing the Mexican national team and tournament in Mexico sometime in the summer. So shout out to, like I said, Mission City. Like I said, if you're still looking for a club, make sure you hit them up. And then I'm looking forward to this weekend. Like I said, home opener. You haven't gotten tickets, get your tickets soon.
And before you go, Royce, to get us out here, hold on 1 minute here. Trying to find it here. If you have not caught it already here. Kickaball had it's a podcast, which you can get on Spotify through there. You know, and Instagram Live, or it was on Instagram Live, but they have an interview with Cameron Lacey that was already aired here. It's a real good interview. I listened to it on Spotify. It was, you know, like I said, it was a good fun podcast. But like I said here, if you do have the opportunity, do listen to episode 120. I know Kickaball, you know, already has another one lined up as well here with Bradley Sample. Or already did one with Bradley Sample as well here. Last week, or on the 25th, they had Cameron Lacey on there. I'm a little jealous that he was able to get Cameron Lacey, because we can't get him. But like I said here, always, you know, support our San Antonio FC players, and then obviously other podcasts that do highlight San Antonio FC for that here. Go Matt.
Real quick, I'm sorry, Royce. I didn't want to cut you off, but I just want to say to all y'all, and I should have asked this. We've been recognized a lot. During Friday, a lot of people came up to me while I was on the phone with Rafa. They're saying, "Hey, are y'all that podcast that been playing a lot?" I was like, "Which one?" Because there's a couple, and they recognized me. They recognized Robert and. Hey, we're doing something good, guys. I just want to congratulate all y'all, man. There's people actively listening to us. And I just want to shout out to y'all. Y'all are doing great. We're being recognized. People are listening to us. Great job, guys.
Yeah, I got the same thing today there at Mr. City. It's like, hey, you're the one with the number one high school program, the coverage for us, like for San Antonio. So, yep. So have your team follow us, like I said, because of what we do. So I'm glad that we're all getting recognized for the hard work we're doing.
No one said anything to me, so that's all fantasy. Anyway, so
well, you're not likable, man.
It's fair. It's fair. It's fair. I had the ultimate face for radio. We all know that.
Bro.
It's where I'm from. What are we talking about? I at least live there. I've lived in Missouri, Mr. Chiefs fan. So weather forecast for Saturday's match is going to be a high of 67, low of 48, 10 to 15 mile an hour steady winds with gusts up to 25. So that should be interesting.
My second point was U.S. soccer needs to grow a spine. I can't believe what they've allowed to happen to the U.S. Open Cup. I know we didn't really want to cover it. I know it's really made Harry upset, and it should upset everybody that is a fan of the sport in our country, because this is one league that has some money that is completely controlled the federation and can do whatever they want, and the sport is suffering because of it. It sucks. And I'm just going to speak for everybody, and I think we all agree it sucks, and U.S. soccer needs to grow a spine and figure out what they need to do, or else the U.S. Open Cup, the longest running Open Cup, competition, I believe in the United States and in a lot of the world, is on the deathbed right now. And it's upsetting to see. And kind of my final thought, kind of not going along with that, but to kind of separate from that, I can't wait to see everybody on Saturday. I've been looking forward to this since the 3-1 loss against Sacramento in the playoffs. And we all know what happens when San Antonio FC has that chip on their shoulder, where last season did not end well, and we still have a good core of those guys that last year wasn't good enough. And so they need to prove that this year, and they need to show the league, they need to remind the league who they are, and they're going to do that this season. And I look forward to watching the whole thing happen. So can't wait to see y'all. Really looking forward to Saturday. What's life without goals? Good night.